Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here, where it matters.
Hello and happy Friday. This is UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you caught up on the news you should know about before the weekend. Today, SNAP food assistance benefits are still in the spotlight, and Pennsylvania's governor spent Thursday packing groceries at a local food bank. And get ready for a close encounter of the Carbondale kind. We've got details on the return of the Carbondalian Festival this weekend. It's Friday, November 7th. Let's get you up to date. We'll start by talking about Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, benefits, because this story is evolving rapidly. SNAP food assistance benefits are frozen during the federal government shutdown. As of recording this episode, a federal judge has ordered the Trump administration on Thursday to fully fund SNAP benefits for November by today. The administration plans to appeal that ruling. Governor Josh Shapiro talked about Pennsylvania's SNAP Emergency Relief Fund while he packed groceries in Pittston on Thursday. WVIA's Lydia McFarlane has more from the assembly line at the Weinberg Northeast Regional Food Bank.
Shapiro sent boxes filled with canned corn and box stuffing mix down an assembly line of volunteers. He touted the SNAP Emergency Relief Fund. It gives $5 million to the state's food banks. Weinberg will receive around $289,000, which Shapiro says translates into 337,000 more meals in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Let me be clear. Our Pennsylvania food banks, despite doing the Lord's work, they cannot meet the need that is left with SNAP not being funded.
Shapiro also announced a private sector fundraising effort that will add to the relief fund. So far, he's raised $2 million in donations. Weinberg's CEO, Jennifer Warbeck, thanked the governor for his administration's support.
Food banks like ours and the organizations we partner with on the front lines are witnessing an unprecedented surge in demand. The pressure on food banks is mounting, with increased need against a backdrop of dwindling supplies.
Shapiro, along with other states, sued the Trump administration for not tapping into a $6 billion contingency fund to continue the food assistance program during the shutdown. Two federal judges ruled in favor of the states. Shapiro encouraged those who can to donate to the relief fund, and he wants to assure Pennsylvanians that his administration is there to help. In Pittston, I'm Lydia McFarlane, WVIA News.
Thanks, Lydia. Stay updated on this story as it changes at WVIA.org. And if you need help getting food during the freeze, call 211 or visit pa211.org to find resources. This full story at WVIA.org also has a resource list of food drives, pantries, and free food, plus where to donate if you're able. All right, let's shift to some weekend planning. It is Friday, after all. Thousands will invade Carbondale to be a part of the city's cosmic history this weekend, just like 51 years ago. The second annual Carbondalian Festival begins tonight with a light parade down Main Street. WVIA's Kat Bolas has more.
Last year, the inaugural Carbondalian Festival marked a mystery that captivated residents 5 decades ago and still to this day.
Really, our goal is to kind of keep that feeling of wonder and excitement year-round.
That's co-chair Nicole Curtis. On November 9th, 1974, a group of teenagers reported that a bright light whirled through the sky, hovered, then landed in a pond of wastewater behind Russell Park. Over 48 hours, it brought 10,000 people and paranormal investigators to Carbondale. Eventually, a railroad lantern was pulled out of the pond, but questions still remain. Saturday's festivities include a landing pad marketplace downtown, supernatural speakers, and the popular Russell Park experience.
I think that that's, you know, a really unique thing about our festival is that we have this immersive production at the site of the crash where people feel like they're actually experiencing day of.
She's felt a shift in the way people perceive the city's celestial past.
When I was younger, people were kind of ashamed of it and felt embarrassed by it. And now people really feel this sense of just pride and excitement.
Reporting from Carbondale, I'm Kat Bolas, WVIA News.
Visit WVIA.org for more details about the festival. Also, WVIA's Alexander Minnelli and Kat Bolas created a VIA short take about the Carbondalian, which is available on WVIA's YouTube channel. Kat's doing a Q&A about the film on Saturday at 1 p.m. at the Greater Carbondale Chamber of Commerce, so check it out if you're headed to the festival. Stay with us. There's more Up to Date after this break.
I'm Julie Sidoni, asking you to be part of something truly important, strengthening the future of trusted local journalism in our community. Through our NewsMatch campaign, your contribution fuels the reporting you count on. Donate now at wvia.org/match.
Welcome back. So, did I mention it's Friday? That also means it's time for a new edition of Community Connection with WVIA's Lisa Mazzarella. Let's see where she is this week.
Kylie McGrane Zarnock was destined to inspire. Coming from a close family in northeastern Pennsylvania, she realized the importance of giving back at an early age. Her nonprofit, A Moment of Magic, brings a lot of smiles to children not only regionally, but across the country. Kylie takes her story from here.
A Moment of Magic is a nonprofit organization, and our mission is to bring joy and to improve the mental health and well-being of children and families with medical vulnerabilities.
Your joy came from sorrow.
It did. My grandparents were hospitalized long-term, and my grandparents passed away within 2 weeks of each other after 65 years of marriage, and it was my first month of my freshman year of college, and I moved from northeastern Pennsylvania to New York City. I didn't have friends on campus, and I didn't have a support system there yet. And I just kept thinking, you know, how do I handle all of these big emotions? And I kept thinking about their legacy, and my grandparents were so involved in the community. I thought that was very ironic that my favorite memories were them in the hospital and the time we spent together. I would go visit them before prom and I'd be in my big dress. And that's kind of what inspired me to get a princess dress and go to the first pediatric hospital. And then going on that first pediatric hospital visit, I left the hospital and I really saw the impact that it made on one individual family. And it was really clear to me that this mission was always bigger than me dressing up as a princess. So how could I get other young people involved? And as soon as that was clear, the vision for the organization was really clear. And I was on a mission to get it to the point where colleges around the country could establish chapters and we can recruit and train local college student volunteers and then partner them with local children's hospitals to impact their local community.
You brought a little bit of fantasy to a very real-life situation and made things a lot better for so many families.
Thank you for saying that. You know, I think children that are hospitalized specifically, a lot of their normalcy changes overnight. As soon as they receive any kind of diagnosis, suddenly their classmates are replaced with doctors and nurses. And to be able to bring volunteers who look like their friends and their peers into their space to treat them as kids and not patients, that really makes a difference in their treatment plan. And that's really what we're hoping to do. Most hospitals have a pediatric floor, or maybe it's a child hospital or a pediatric hospital in general, and they organize all of the activities that really focus on quality of life and patient engagement. They really are who we rely on to help us cater each activity and each visit to the best needs of the hospital. And Child Life really helps us do that.
So what's a typical moment of magic like?
We come fully equipped with books and story time and sing-alongs and arts and crafts, and we let the child make the decision of how that visit is going to go from there. when you walk into the room of a child that is battling cancer, the really remarkable thing is they could have gone through surgery yesterday. They could have gone through chemotherapy that morning, and they're ready to play. They want to get up and they want to be a kid, and they just need that opportunity. We say that we're a child-led organization, and we really follow the lead of the kids that we interact with. We are there and a part of their healing journey.
Special thanks to Kylie McGrain-Zarnock, founder of A Moment of Magic, bringing smiles to children all across the country. Hear the entire story on our podcast, wvia.org/community. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.
So, how are we feeling? All caught up and ready for the weekend? Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks, as always, for hanging out with me this week. We're back on Monday, so make sure you're all subscribed so you can tune in every weekday. Also, you might want to subscribe on YouTube in particular. We've got something new on the way on Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.